Have you all had a great week? Only some, okay.
Yes. I had to remember what I did.
Oh dear.
Yeah, but it goes so fast.
That's good. I'm glad to hear that. Okay, today what we're going to talk about is the magic word called faith.
What's that?
You've noticed so far it hasn't been mentioned. We've hinted around it. Faith. And by doing that, I'm going to have a look at the life of Peter, because I think Peter is one that will truly inspire us in our walk in faith with Jesus Christ. It's been said that the Apostle Peter, here's a little bit of background for you, was a slender person. I'd like to know how these people found this out when they write these things. He was of middle size, inclined to be tallness, and that his complexion was pale, almost white. It has also been said that he had a short, thick, curly, curled beard, thin eyebrows, or no eyebrows at all. Now, I wonder if anyone's ever written anything about us that somewhere in, say, 100 years, 200 years' time, someone's going to look back and say, did we have eyebrows or did we have none? I'm amazed how these people work that out. Another description of the Apostle Peter was that his eyes were black but flecked with red due to frequent weeping. It is amazing. Peter was born in Bethsaida, that's in Galilee, Israel. By profession, he was a fisherman. And by the way, his name was also, if you take Jesus Christ out of the New Testament, his name is mentioned the most in the New Testament. His father, also a fisherman, was named John. His brother, the apostle Andrew. So you have Peter and Andrew, brothers, and their father's name is John. He and his brother Andrew, along with their partners, now their partners were the apostles James and John. They were fishermen on the Sea of Galilee. Zebedee was the father of James and John. He was also a partner. So they're all mixed together. So here you have four of them. But it also says, so firm was Peter's faith that Jesus gave him the name of Cephas, meaning, in the Syriac language, a rock. Peter is the Greek translation of Cephas. The house in which Peter lived in Capernaum is still standing. That's interesting. In the 5th century AD, a Christian church was constructed over it. The Roman Catholic Church also puts Peter in high prominence. I believe he was listed as their first bishop. And once every year, they have a statue or something of him that they bring out, and they actually put a ring on the finger and a cloak over him. And that happens, there's a ceremony once a year. So that's quite interesting. Peter was also one who prompted the disciples to choose a replacement to take over the apostolic ministry of Judas Iscariot. That's after he betrayed Jesus Christ. And Peter is also one who defended the inclusion of the Gentiles, that's non-Jews, that's us, into the Christian church at the Apostolic Council in Jerusalem. So we are here because of Peter and Paul. Paul was also tied up. His ministry was primarily to the Jews, and Paul's ministry was to the Gentiles. He was imprisoned several times in Jerusalem because of his faith, his strong faith. Peter left with his wife, so he was married, and possibly others. It's believed that he ministered in Babylon to the Jewish colonists there, and it is also believed to be the location where he wrote his first epistle. That's 1 Peter. Peter eventually went back to Rome. While there, it is believed that John Mark, that's the writer of the Gospel of Mark, served as his translator when he preached. There is a church tradition that says Mark the disciple and the interpreter of the Apostle Peter wrote a short gospel at the request of the brethren of Rome, embodying what he had heard Peter tell. Thus, Peter was the source of Mark's gospel. So that's interesting. If this works. It does. Wow. In Matthew 17, 1-4, it says, "After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, the brother of James, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. He was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes appeared as white as light." No, hang on a second. We have the wrong one. My apologies. Here we go. "As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew, and they were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. 'Come follow me,' Jesus said, 'and I'll make you fishers of men.' Peter, Andrew and James, John and Zebedee were all fishermen. Jesus called them and they went." That's interesting. They left all they had and went. If someone called you as a disciple, would you just drop everything and go? Think about it for a moment. This is built on faith. Obviously, God had preparing their hearts for this moment, and they responded to the call. Yet all the disciples, even after 3 years of training, could not grasp the fact that Jesus was really the Son of God. 3 years. Now, we believe by faith, and yet we've not had Christ with us, standing with us to teach us all the things that we need to know to build our faith up. So we are here because of faith, our faith in Christ. The Holy Spirit has called us and we've responded. They even saw miracles on a daily basis. The feeding of 5,000, the lame walk, the blind see, evil spirits cast out, and the list goes on. Even John the Baptist was still not sure. He sent his followers to Jesus to ask if he was the one. Yet John knew that Jesus was the Christ when he baptized him in the River Jordan. And he still wasn't sure. There is always a small level of doubt in our minds. And you know, that's probably a good thing, because it challenges us all the time. With that little bit of doubt in our mind, we look and we rely on God. We are drawn back to him every time for everything. Things don't go right. Look at my arm. I've burnt it. It's not real good. Yes, that's helping my daughter. Blokes, be careful of daughters. It hits me. Is this really true? Is there really life after death? Can I be saved? The devil will always put these little seeds of doubt in our mind at various times. And our faith will pull us through every time. Because what do we do with these small bits of doubt? We go to God in prayer and we ask him. We rely on him 100% for everything. So that little bit of doubt is actually good for us, because it will build us up in our faith and make us strong. What is faith? Faith is that quality in a believer which enables him or her to grasp the unseen and the future. We have a future, and that's why we're here today. We are here. Sorry?
The opposite of fear.
Absolutely. The opposite of fear. We're here to build each other up and to encourage each other. Now, let's see if I can get it right now. Yes. "After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, the brother of James, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. There he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. Just then there appeared before them Moses and Elijah talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, 'Lord, is it good for us to be here? If you wish, I will put up 3 shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah.'" My obvious question is, how could he possibly know it was Moses and Elijah? He's never met them before. Have you ever queried that? It must have been an awesome sight to see Moses and Elijah. Now, how did he know their names? Surely he must have realized that they did not need a tent. If you are glowing with pure light, why would you need a tent? But the question is, when you leave this life and you actually go to your home, which is being prepared for you, because Christ has said that, who do you want to meet? Do you have someone special you like to meet? I can assure you, you're going to meet Moses and you're going to meet Elijah. Elijah is one powerful prophet. He inspires me, that man. I'm still struggling with the fact of the things that he did. And he did it all in faith. Jesus and his disciples went on to the villages around Caesarea Philippi. On the way, he asked them, "Who do people say that I am?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, one of the prophets." "What about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Peter said, "You are the Christ." Peter's answer was, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Christ's response to Peter was that he did not know that, and that the Holy Spirit had revealed it to him. In Mark 14, 27 to 30, it says, "You will all fall away," Jesus told them. "For it is written, I will strike the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered. But after I have risen, I will go ahead of you into Galilee." Peter declared, "Even if all fall away, I will not." "I tell you the truth," Jesus answered, "today, yes, tonight, for the rooster crows twice, you yourself will disown me three times." I believe this was Peter's moment of truth. He finally saw the light when he denied him the third time. His life was really changing. Peter was the first to visit the open tomb and was present when Christ walked through the closed door in the upper room. That would have been a sight, to see someone walk through a closed door. We see this on television in some of the supernatural films, but this actually did happen. In the films, that's only an actor and they do it by whatever. But this is real. Special effects, thank you. At the Transfiguration, all the disciples were filled with the Holy Spirit. Peter spoke to the crowd in Acts 2 and approximately 3,000 repented that day. We look at 3,000 people. He didn't have a megaphone. He didn't have a system like a sound system. But not only that, they came, the repentance carried on day after day after day after that. And many people were coming. So it's in excess of 3,000. Here, Peter has seen the light. He knows now that the risen Christ is real. His faith is justified. Peter remained on fire for the Lord for the rest of his life. His faith could not be broken or compromised. It was also said Peter had healed a man who was over 40 years of age, who had been crippled from birth, with but the words, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, get up and walk." On the final days of the Apostle Peter in Rome, Italy, a chap by the name of Jowett, Jowett, wrote that Peter was cast into a horrible prison called the Mamertine. That was the name of the prison. For 9 months in absolute darkness, he endured monstrous torture, manacled to a post. In spite of all his suffering, Peter was subjected to, however, He converted his jailers. A man by the name of Procesus, I hope I got that right, Martinaeus, and 47 others in that horrible place. He spoke to them about Christ, and they accepted him into their lives. According to church tradition, the Roman Emperor Nero publicly announced himself as the chief enemy of God, was led in his fury to slaughter the apostles. Peter was crucified upside down while in Rome because of his faith. He didn't want to be crucified the same as Christ. In summary, and he said, this is Jesus, to them, "Where is your faith?" And they, being afraid, wondered, saying to one another, "What manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and the water, and they obey him." And that's in Luke chapter 8. Our faith should be on the growing edge. How does it come on the growing edge? It's by reading the Word of God. I encourage you, read your Bible regularly, because there is a message there for each and every one of us. It's a word of salvation, encouragement, and building up. Our faith should be anchored to Christ. What a great example we have. Here is a man, and he was a man, and he is God, and he left us a great example of how we should be. Our faith should be a light to others. We're not going to stand around on the street corners shining. That doesn't happen. Well, I suppose not to us anyway. Maybe to some great apostles, and it did. And they did shine. Look at Elijah. Look at all of them. The work that they did. Moses was a great encourager. He went to God and said, "You'll have to help me." He said, "Because they want to kill me." And that's, in fact, when he led the people out of Egypt. They were having troubles. But yes, faith. We should be an example to all others. And when we stand out in the community and do work for the community, we are an example. And our faith should be the basis of our hope. If it's the basis of our hope, when someone comes up to you and says to you, "Why do you believe in Jesus? Why is God in your life?" then you'll be able to answer them. These are words of encouragement. Peter is a great example of faith. He was very human. And in fact, even after 3 years, it still took him some time with encouragement of the Holy Spirit to really realize. But look what he realized when he spoke the word of God. Over 3,000 people repented. 3,000. Could you imagine what God could do with all of us? Faith. Amen.